The book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. An unusual man, an unusual book. It is the second longest portion of Scripture. Now, we're not counting Psalms, which are a collection of Psalms. That, of course, is 150. But the book of Isaiah has the most chapters, 66 chapters. Hence, it is called the Old Testament Bible. The Old Testament Gospel is found in the book of Isaiah. But we're going to look at the second longest book in the Old Testament today, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. He was called before he was born, according to Jeremiah chapter 1. Before he was born, God says that I knew him, I called him to be a prophet to the people of Israel. Now today we're going to look at Jeremiah, the person, the man, the prophet. So simply I entitled the message today, Jeremiah. Let's pray. Lord, would you give us some insight today into this man? Would you give us some insight into his pains, his sufferings, his discouragements, his despondencies, and yet his power, his boldness, his preaching, his confronting your people with the Word of God. Help us to see today, in some ways, even ourselves, as we serve the Lord, and as we have to speak an unpopular message, as we have to confront a wicked world with our godly lives and with our godly testimonies, and when we present the gospel. Would you help us today, I pray, to be fed, taught, encouraged, and blessed through this message of Jeremiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not many people want to be a Jeremiah. God would not allow him to be married. God called him to, at a young age, to be a spokesman for God. His message was not love. His message was not sugary. It was not pleasant. But his message stung. His stinging words stunned people. He was to preach to the nation Israel. If you have your Bible there at Jeremiah 20, where we read just a few minutes ago, you will see here it is speaking about a priest that didn't like what Jeremiah had to say. Hence, he beat Jeremiah in verse 2. Put him in stocks in verse number 2. And we see that's just one example of Jeremiah's treatment. Jeremiah has been a help for pastors for centuries. Because Jeremiah has been an example of one who, through discouragement, through persecution, through heartache, he carried on. Yes, he got discouraged. Yes, he wanted to resign. Yes, he wanted to throw in the towel, but he couldn't. Many organizations and magazines and periodicals in the last few years have talked about the 1,500 pastors who resign and quit the ministry every month. Yes, 1,500. Lifeway, the division of the Southern Baptist Convention, has reported this. Decision Magazine, the magazine of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the Barner Group, which is a research group, all have reported about the many pastors that quit every month. You see, just in the Southern Baptist Convention, there's 48,000 churches. Now you take the Methodists, you take all the different groups, all the different kinds of Baptists, Methodists, you take all of the Pentecostals, all of these charismatic churches, you lump all the many thousands and thousands. They say that there is a large number that give it up every month. Now, the point is not to figure if that is a true number, 1,500 a month. There's debate about that. But it is agreed that there is, especially in 2020, 2021, 2022, a great number that have left the ministry. I said Jeremiah has been a help for pastors for centuries. Why? Because we see conditions, we see situations, we see beatings, we see mockings, we see all of these things that the normal man would not probably continue on. But Jeremiah, he did. Turn back to chapter number 16 just for a moment of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16, and we're going to go back to 20 in just a moment. That's going to be our portion that we look at today. But look at what Jeremiah 16 and verse number 19 says. Jeremiah states, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. I want you to notice those three designations in our scripture here. If you go there to the next one, Devin, please. O Lord, my strength, my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. Now, if you'll turn over to chapter 20 that we read from just a few minutes ago, I want to say four things to us today, speak four things to us today from the life of Jeremiah that I hope that this will be a help, not only to me, but to you. Verse number 7, I want you to notice the first thing that I am going to posit before you. Jeremiah lost confidence in his call. He lost confidence in the call that God gave him. You're going to see in these 52 chapters of Jeremiah, he's going to say some things that might shock you. He's going to say some things that seems to be in contention with God who called him. And here is one of the statements that he says in verse number 7 of chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me. And I was deceived. You say, Brother Rodney, what does he mean here that, Lord, you have deceived me? He's stating here that he is feeling, not that God would deceive anybody, but he's feeling that the call of God upon his life, even before he was born, that there was to be things happen in his life that doesn't seem to square with God's treatment of his prophet. That, Lord, you've not been fair with me. That, Lord, things that you have promised and things that you have laid before me, it seems like you're playing a trick on me. He lost confidence in his call. He made a question mark upon his calling and say, God, why have you forsaken me? In a sense, that's what he is saying. Many of us, no doubt, in life, especially when we go through times of suffering, when we go through times of tragedy, when we go through, deep despondency of heart because of things that God has allowed to come into our life, if we're not careful, we will charge God with deceiving us, in a sense, or not being fair with us, or not being clear with us as to these things that happen in our lives. Every one of us in social media that follows social media and with the information blast that we get every week through social media, through the internet, through email, through magazines, through newspapers, through our televisions, we have a preponderance of things coming at us that are things of suffering, heartache. If there's an earthquake and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people killed, we're going to see it. We're going to see the pictures. Digging in the rubble, trying to get little children out and dead bodies and We see all of this stuff, and we even get to the place that we, if we're not careful, in the flesh, we will think, Lord, why do you allow all this? Lord, we know you're a good God. We know that you are a God of mercy and compassion. But why do we see all of this, Lord? At times it can be overwhelming. And Jeremiah, he's just like us. He is a human with foibles, a human with frailties. And if you read these 52 chapters, you will see many times that he seemingly argues with God. And then at times where he does plainly argues with God and questions God and feels that, God, you have deceived me. Verse 7, you've deceived me and I was deceived. Now, Jeremiah is not going to stay in this condition of feeling deceived, because as he grows and as he progresses and as he goes through these many years of his ministry, 40 years, and 40 is the number of testing in the Bible, 40 years, he lives through three kings, ups and downs in Israel. And he sees a wide gamut of history with the people of Israel. So at this point in time, he loses his confidence in the sense that he feels, Lord, you've called me and it seems like you're mocking me. It seems like you deceived me. But of course, that's not where he stays. The second thing I want you to see is that he is attacked for his message. We don't have time to look through each of these things because there's too many of them. By the way, he does wind up being killed. We don't know how he is killed. Tradition tells us that he is stoned to death. At the end of his life, he is in Egypt. He is away from Israel, and he suffers greatly. He's attacked for his message. It says there in verse number 8, for whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. His message was to Israel, God is going to judge us. And he does it with tears. He's emotional. He's called the weeping prophet. And he warns, God is going to destroy Israel in the sense that we're going to be overrun with the Babylonians. They're going to come in and they're going to destroy Jerusalem. They're going to destroy the temple. And they are going to carry off in captivity the choicest of our people. Many are going to be killed by the Babylonians, but there is going to be those that will be taken in captivity. And he says in verse number 8 that when I speak, when I cry out as a prophet, and I shout, violence and destruction is coming. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all the day long. So he is stating, and he repeatedly states this through portions of the book of Jeremiah, that God, I am being attacked for what you have told me to tell the people. Again, that gives comfort and encouragement to any preacher of the gospel or minister of the gospel or missionary or anyone that speaks the word of God to people, because we will be attacked. It will be different levels and different degrees for different ones and different settings. Here in the United States of America, we're not being persecuted physically as people in certain parts of the world are actually dying for the faith. If you don't get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, you ought to sign up for it. They'll send it to you free. And they say that every year in the present world, every year, there are more people dying for Jesus in different parts of the world than all of the deaths through biblical times, people dying for the Lord. It's staggering when you read about, and of course most of them are not publicized around the world, but Voice of the Martyrs, get that. Richard Wurmbrand is the one who began the magazine, and in a communist country, he spent 13 years in prison, and he spoke to one of the classes that I was in my Bible college days, talking about the persecution and what he went through in those 13 years in prison. And when he took off his coat and took off his shirt and turned for us to see his back, he didn't have to say another word the whole time. I mean, we melted, every one of us. Here's a man standing before us. He's been talking, and we've been listening, and it's been impacting us. But when you see the scars in his back, everything took a different tenor in that class that day. Jeremiah was a prophet that we're talking about here who suffered in much of the same way, by his own people, by his own priest, as we see here in chapter 20. That verse we saw just a moment ago in chapter 16. O Lord, my strength, my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. He has to depend upon the Lord's strength to get him through these difficult times. That brings us to the third thing that I want you to see here in chapter 20. He said, I want to quit. I just plain out want to quit. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 20. He says, if I say, I will not mention him, or speak any more in His name. I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to speak anymore, mention anymore, preach anymore. He says, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. In the King James, which I have memorized many, many verses, I looked to see, because I wanted to see that rendering that I was familiar with in the King James. He says, I'm not going to mention Him anymore. I'm not going to mention God anymore. But His Word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary for, or I was weary in forbearing. And I could not stay. What Jeremiah is saying here is that I wanted to quit. I said, I'm not going to mention His name anymore. I resign. I didn't sign up for all of this stuff when I was called to be a spokesman for God. I'm not going to mention Him anymore. Not going to preach anymore. Not going to talk about the Lord anymore. But His Word was in my bones like a burning fire. In my heart like a burning fire. The tips of my fingers, bones all the way to the tips of my fingers, bones all the way to the tips of my toes, bones from the skull through my backbone, spine, hips, leg bones, feet bones. The Word of God was like it was shut up in me and burning me. I said, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to speak anymore. But He said, I that didn't last long. He said, I could not help it. I have to speak the Word of God. I have to preach the Word of God. I have to warn the people of God. So in his mind, and you'll hear preachers say things like this, that most preachers resign every Monday and get over it sometime during the week. That's just a common little ditty that preachers talk about. And Jeremiah was like that in a sense here. That he said, I'm going to resign. But then he says there was resistance. The Word of God in my heart and in my bones, I could not. And so he says, I cannot. Verse number 9. I'm weary with holding it, and I cannot. Again, this has been a help and encouragement to pastors down through the centuries, missionaries down through the centuries, people of God who have suffered down through the centuries. And that's the last thing that I want to say to you here. He could not. He found out. He could not. He found out. He experienced. I cannot. You see there in verse number 10, He says, this is what I hear. I hear whisperings. Terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed. They will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who test the righteous. If you are righteous, if you are a child of God, if you are one who has been made righteous through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will test all of us. O Lord of hosts, verse 12, who test the righteous. He goes on to even talk about in verse 14 down to verse number 18, it would be better. Sometimes I feel like it'd be better off if I had not ever been born. You see him from going from highs to lows, saying things that are wonderful, but then contemplating things that are really despicable. But old Jeremiah, he hung in there. Old Jeremiah carried on. Jeremiah, you see him chapter after chapter letting out that fire in his bones, letting out as an escape valve the Word of God to the people of Israel. Everything that he said came to pass because he was speaking what God told him to speak. It all came to pass. The Babylonians came into Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple of God. They destroyed the city of God, Jerusalem. They killed many people. They took the best of the best into the captivity. Everything that God had said would happen, happened. And just as it is in the day in which we're living, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, people laugh about it. We talk about that one day the Lord's going to come, just like in the days of Noah. Noah preached many, many years. He was a preacher of righteousness. He said, judgment is coming. He was building a boat in the desert. He was building a boat where there was no water. And he was preaching judgment that one day God is going to judge the wickedness of this world with a flood. And nobody had ever had a drop of water hit them in the top of the head because it had never rained up to that point. But sure enough, the scriptures say 120 years Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was ridiculed, laughed at, persecuted. It was not easy for Noah to do what he did. And he did not convert anybody or have any success in his ministry. We're not told, but do you think Noah ever wanted to quit? Human nature being what it is, he was not a superman. He was just like us. Sure, he wanted to quit. But he persevered 120 years. And only his wife and his children and their mates were in the ark when the rain began to fall. The rain began to fall after God shut them into the ark. And then when the people began to beat on the side of the ark, "Let us in, let us in. We believe you now." Noah was helpless. He could not open the door because if you'll read what it says there in Genesis, God shut the door. And the scripture teaches when God shuts a door, no man openeth. And when God opens a door, no man can close it. And the door had been opened 7 more days. It says there in Genesis, but then God shut the door, then judgment came. Then it's too late. And Jeremiah, in all of the prophetic speaking and preaching and teaching about what God was going to do, they did not believe until it was too late. Do we get discouraged speaking to people about the Lord? Do we get discouraged trying to talk to our family about the Lord, those that don't believe? Do we get discouraged? If you're human, you get discouraged. You feel like it's never going to happen. For over 30 years, I prayed for my brother. In Bible college, in every class that took prayer requests, I said, "Pray for my brother to be saved." For over 30 years. And at times I felt like he's never going to get saved. But there came a day that in God's mercy and grace, he did save my brother. 66 days before he died. At 57 years of age. We all get discouraged. We all doubt like Jeremiah did. And I want to encourage you today. We must keep on. Look at Jeremiah. Look at how sad the situation. How discouraged. How he wanted to quit. But yet he said, "I cannot. Your word is like a fire in my bones. I've got to speak of you. I've got to tell people. I've got to be a witness, a preacher of righteousness." May you and me, I'm preaching this to me, I'm preaching this to you, I'm preaching to anyone that hears this on the live stream or will hear it in the future. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. And one day we'll look back and we'll thank God we did not quit. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Oh God, would you please give us a shot. Give us a shot of encouragement. Give us a shot of determination. Give us a shot of stubbornness. Give us a shot of perseverance. That we will not allow the world around us to drag us down, to discourage us, that we'll not allow the world to wear us down to a nub and we feel like I'm going to throw in the towel. Mothers and fathers who are praying for children or grandchildren, don't give in to despair and discouragement and say, it's not going to happen. I believe it could happen. I'm praying that it'll happen, that God'll save that child or that grandchild, or work in a situation that you've been burdened about for years. I cannot promise you, nor can you promise me, certain outcomes in this life. But we can say that I'm going to hold on till the end. I'm going to pray and believe to the very end. I'm going to believe God that He's going to work, that He is going to bring a desired result, even if it happens after I'm dead and gone. Don't give up. Let's together today, you and I, we all together, take heart from Jeremiah. Father, I pray today for anyone here that is not saved, that they might see the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God, dying upon a cross for sinners, that for whoever will believe upon Him, they will be saved. May they look to Jesus today. May they believe the gospel. May they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. Let's quietly stand to our feet and let's sing this closing song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender.
To be my blessed Savior, I
benediction today, if you would notice these words, come from the Word of God. Benediction is a departing blessing, and I say this to you, dear children of God. You only have to suffer a little while, according to the Scriptures. The God of all grace, who called you to eternal glory in Christ, will see that all is well again. He will comfort, strengthen, and support you. His power lasts forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's keep our eyes closed in a quiet spirit just for a few moments. And then the music will begin to signal the end of the service. I'll be here at the front. If I can be of help to anyone, come and see me. If I can come and just pray with you, come and meet me here at the front. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock.
God bless you. Have a good afternoon.